Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We're now in the Darim Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, which is properly Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah Dalet in the third parak, dealing with the fourth of the four categories of Nedarim that are ipso facto invalid. Nidre Onsin. Hidiru Chaveru Shiochal Etzlo, V'chalahu O Shechala B'no O Sheikavon Ahar, Hare Elu Nidre Onsin. If a fellow administered a vow to someone else that he wanted him to eat at his house, and if he didn't come to eat at his house, something particular would happen, he would be also to have gehana from him, etc., and then the fellow got sick, or his son got sick, or the river got in the way, you know, that something out of his control prevented him from fulfilling the neder, then that's called nidre onsin, and we don't consider the neder the condition unfulfilled, and therefore the neder is not chal. The bottom line issue here is onus rachmana patre. If somebody does something or somebody more significantly fails to do something, not due to his own voluntarily omission, but rather due to circumstances beyond his control, that is not considered a deliberate omission, and therefore the condition is not fulfilled. So the Gemara immediately brings a story. Hahu gavra de'itfis is achvata b'vedina. There was a particular person who wrote down his rights in a shtar in Beit Din. And Ve'amar, Ilo atina tatin yomi nivatlin hani zachvatoi. He had particular rights, and he said, if I don't come back in 30 days, I am foregoing these rights. Itnis filoata. So there was an ones, and he couldn't come, but he intended to come, but the plane was delayed, whatever. Ravuna batel zachvatoi. Ravuna said, that's it. He wasn't there 30 days, and his chuyot are nullified. He doesn't have that rights of collection or whatever it may be. Amalei Rava, onus, what are you talking about? He's onus. Onus rachmana patre. The Torah forgives a case where somebody fails to do something due to onus. And what's the source text for that? Tichtiv, v'naralo lota sedavar, and take a look at the full pasuk. We're talking about a case of rape, and we say the girl, even though she's betrothed, is not liable for anything because she had no choice. She was coerced. That's the source of the notion of onus rachmana patre. And you might argue that that's only in the case of death. In other words, we don't give the girl a death sentence because she was na'anas. But perhaps in other issues less significant than that, like a neder or financial issues, onus is still significant. Our Mishnah proves that even in lesser areas, onus is not considered to be an action that you undertook or an omission of yours. Ularava, son of Rava, who made this claim, the famous Mishnah in the sixth parak of Gittin, that if a guy makes a condition and says, this is your get on condition that I don't come back in 12 months. And this guy's going on a trip, it's dangerous, they have no children, he doesn't want her to be zakuk to his shnuk brother, or perhaps he just doesn't want her to be an aguna, and so it's a guy who loves his wife, who cares about his wife, and he says, here's a get that's valid if I don't come back within 12 months. And what happens? If he dies during the 12 months, hareze a get. That is a valid get. Why should that be a valid get? Amai, v'amenas itnis. After all, his not arriving was due to onus. He died. There's no greater onus than that. And therefore, we should say the get's invalid. So Amri Dilma Shani Hatam, the answer that they gave in the Beit Midrash was, that's a different case. The Iyava Yada Demit, if he had known he was going to die, min la'alta have gomer v'yativ gita. He would have given her a get immediately, because after all, he wants her to be a divorcee, not an amana, which would lead to yibum, etc. He's doing it for her interest. So had he known he wasn't going to show up, he was going to die, he would have given her a get that was effective immediately. He thought he'd live, so he wanted the chance that he was going to come back to keep the marriage alive. Now, how is that any different than this famous case at the beginning of Ketubot? Ilo atina mikana platin yomin. A guy says to his wife, if I don't come back in 30 days, this is a valid get. Again, a situation like that. Ato paske mabra, he came and the river was, he was unable to pass the river. The bridge was down, the ferry wasn't working. Amarlo chazod da'atoy, chazud da'atoy. He was screaming from the other side of the river, you see, I'm trying to come. V'yamar Shmuel lo shmei matya, and Shmuel said, that doesn't count. In other words, the get is valid. Amai, v'ha menas onis, he's nanas. We see he's trying to get across and he can't get across. So, Dilma unsed migal yashani. And this is one of the answers given in Ketubot. Maybe this onus, which is one that is a predictable, foreseeable onus, and you really should have reckoned that. You should have said, unless I come back in 30 days, or you see me yelling, or the bridge is out, or something like that. The bridge is something that we all know is an onus that could happen. Good. There's a question on Rav Huna. How could Rav Huna say that he lost his rights? Mechte asmachta. After all, the entire case is a case of asmachta. What does asmachta mean here? It means when a person makes a deal which it is clear he never intends to fulfill, and he's saying it just to convince the onlookers that he really means it. So, of course, he doesn't intend to give up his rights. And when he said, if I don't come back in 30 days, then my rights are gone, he's just trying to show them how serious he is about it. So, therefore, his statement should be a meaningless statement, because that's a classic case of asmachta, right? And perhaps we should argue asmachta lokanya. Now, shaniach de mitfas and zchuta. And here it's different because he handed the shtar over. So it's not just words. Even if you hand over a shtar, that's not an asmachta. We have the Mishnah at the end of Babatra. Mishapar miktzat chovo. If somebody paid off part of his debt, and the creditor gave him the shtar, and so he said he gave the shtar upon agreement to a middleman, an escrow, and he said, if I don't pay within X amount of time, then you can give back the shtar. Of course, that's an asmachta, because he meant to pay up. He giazman velonatan. Something happened. He couldn't get the money together. He didn't pay on time. Rabbi Yossi Amir Yitain. Rabbi Yossi says, let the guy hand it over. Because after all, Rabbi Yossi says, asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yudah Amir lo Yitain. Rabbi Yudah says, you can't hand it over. V'yam Rav Nachum Amaravu Amarav. Ein halachak Rabbi Yossi. We don't pass on like Rabbi Yossi. You don't give it over. Damar asmachta kanya. But after all, it's all based on asmachta, which proves to you that even if you have a written shtar that's handed over, that's still an asmachta. Right, the answer is shaniach dema levatlin zchutei. Our case is different, because in our case, the guy said, if I don't come in 30 days, I'm foregoing my rights. And that is a stronger statement, less of an asmachta, as opposed to saying, hand this over if I don't arrive. Because hand this over means I'm giving the other fellow rights of collection, which I didn't intend. That really is an asmachta. And therefore, if we pass it against Rabbi Yossi and say asmachta lokanya, then it won't work. In our case, he's saying, I was given special rights, and if I don't show up in 30 days, I'm willing to forego them. That's less of an asmachta. He didn't show up, and according to Rav Huna, ignoring the issue of onus, he gave it up. In any case, hilchata, what's the halacha? Asmachta kanya, right? V'huda lo anis. And asmachta is kone as long as he's not nanas. V'huda kanominei beveitin chashuv. This is an important thing. You look at the Rishonim locally to see the Ran, the Ramban, to see what they mean by beitin chashuv. But it has to be done in a significant beitin, not just in front of three guys. Okay, the next Mishnah, takes us away from, keeps us in the area of Nedarim that aren't really valid, but goes back to Nedarim that are kind of a combination of Zruzin category 1 and Onsin category 4. And that is when you're put in the situation where, as we will see immediately in the Gemara, a strong arm man or somebody who's trying to extort money from you, will believe you if you take an oath that this money really isn't yours, or that it's already promised to somebody else, belongs to the king, for instance, and will leave you alone, but only if you take a neder. You could take such a neder, and the neder isn't chal. Let's see. Nodrin l'haragin, you could take such a neder to, and you could say, if I'm telling if I'm lying, then X, Y, and Z, I'm noder from X, Y, and Z, and that neder is invalid, is nothing. To murderers, lacharamin, that's pillagers, ulamochsin, those are customs officials. We'll see about that third one in a minute. She truma, let's say that you say this food is truma, and they'll leave you alone. Or say this really belongs to the king. You can lie about that. Now, Beit Shammai says you could do anything, a neder, a cherem, whatever, just not a shvua. Beit Shammai said you could even do a shvua, and it'll be meaningless. Beit Shammai said you can't initiate the deal and say I'll take a neder. Or you have to wait till the guy says to you, if that's really truma, you take a neder. Beitela says, no, you can initiate it. Beit Shammai says you can only take a neder about what the guy's saying to you. So, for instance, he says to you, if you're lying, then your wife is also to you. So you say, okay, my wife is also to me. You can't add to that. Beitela says you can even expand it further and say, I'm so telling the truth that not only what you're asking me, but even more. We'll see an example right now, Ketzad. Amarlo, I'm more konam ishti nenetli. If the guy says to you, if you're really telling the truth, then say, I'm taking a netter that if I'm lying, my wife is also to me. And you went ahead and said, not only my wife, but even my children. That's how much I'm telling the truth. That if I'm lying, even my children are also to me. So Bichama says, the result of that is that your wife is mutter, but there's no permission for your sons. They're also to you, and you got to get a hatar on that. And Betel says, no, the entire thing is mutar, which of course may also fit in with what we saw in the previous Mishnah, that neder shutar miktzato. Now, Amar Shmuel, how can you say that a customs official, you're allowed to lie to him, dina de machuta dina, the law of the land is the law. You're chayiv to pay taxes, you're chayiv to pay the customs tariffs. We're talking about a customs official who isn't operating within the law. He'll take as much as he can. He'll take as much as he can get. All right, he's discriminatory. He says a different version of that, which is a self-appointed customs official, a strong-arm man who's taking money from people. Now, how do you take such a neder? Like, what's the mechanism by which it works? The guy says, I don't believe you. Those don't belong to the king. They're your own thing. I'm taxing you on it. You said, no, they are Shal Beit HaMelech. And you take a neder. Say, all fruit in the world are also to me if they're not Shal Beit HaMelech. How does that help? The minute you said that, all fruit is also to you. So you say, Hayom. If you say Hayom, then the customs guy is not going to believe you. He said, yeah, big deal. So you'll forgo fruit for a day, and you're still cheating me. So the Omer belibo Hayom, umotzibis fatav stam. The answer is that you say all perot are usher, and in your heart you mean today, and you don't say that out loud. The Alpha gav this frill on dvarim shebelev and on dvarim, even though we generally hold the dvarim shebelev, meaning intent, it does not count and is not reckoned as part of a verbal formulation. Legabe onsin shani. When it comes to onsin, then it's different. And we allow dvarim shebelev to count. Okay, now the last piece of our sugya, Bechamim Bakol, etc. This next piece is really a replication of the Mishnah with one exception. Bechamim Yamshu Medirah, we tell him Afishin. No Medirah, Ketzad, Konam Ishti Nanetli, Makon Ishti Nabanai Nanimli, Rishtom Uter, Banam Asurim, Tilomrim, Eva Inutari. Now, Amar Vuna, Tana, we have a bright that says Bechamim Yilo Yiftachlo Bishvua. The Beit Shammai says you cannot start with a shvua, which is misleading on two counts. The Beit Shammai are you allowed to initiate with a neder? In our Mishnah, you said you can't initiate at all. But And the second thing is, according to the implication, is you can't initiate a shvua, but if he demands a shvua, you could do one. The first thing the Beit Shammai disagreed with Beit Hillel about was whether or not you can take a shvu at all. Beit Shammai says you can't. So we have to reconcile it right with the Mishnah. Tanamat nitin b'neder lodeach hakochan de Beit Shammai. You're right. Beit Shammai says you can't do a shvu, you can't even do a neder. And the Mishnah picked neder to show you how far Beit Shammai would go. He can't initiate anything. Tana b'raita b'shvu lodeach hakochan de Beit Hillel. The b'raita was there to show you how far Beit Hillel are willing to go to say not only can you initiate, you can even initiate with a shvu. Ravashi has a different take. Amar hachik tani, what the brayta means is Beit Shammai mim ain sheila b'shvua. If you take a shvua, you can't ever get it repealed. There is no hatorah for a shvua at all. Beit Hillel omrim yesh sheila b'shvua. Beit Hillel says, yes, you can indeed b'shoal al shvua, and that is the implication of the brayta. Okay, in the next podcast, we'll pick up at this point and continue on our study of the third parak of Masachet Nedarim. Everybody should have a wonderful day.